Welcome to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez of Lopez Research, and I'm joined with my co-host Joe Peterson of Clarify 360. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Elevate the Edge is published bi-weekly. The podcast focuses on helping companies understand what edge computing is, how the market will evolve, and what you need to know to build successful edge computing strategies. Show notes and subscription links can be found at elevatetheedge.com/episodes. We hope you'll enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Maribel Lopez, the founder and principal analyst at Lopez Research, and I am joined here today with my co-host for Elevate the Edge, Joe Peterson, who is the VP of Cloud and Security at Clarify 360. And we're here to talk about the edge, what's happening, who's making it happen, why you need to know about it, and what you need to do about it. And to get started with that, I'm here with Tina Gravel, who is the Senior Vice President at AppGate. And Tina comes to us as a guest from Joe Peterson. So I thought, Joe, maybe you could actually tell us how you know Tina and kick us off.
Well, Tina is one of the people that I look up to in cybersecurity. First of all, she's a strong female voice in the space. And I strongly believe that if you can't see it, you can't be it. So Tina acts as a role model in the cybersecurity space. She does lots of work around mentoring, around helping young women come into the space and sort of elevating them along. She has this wonderful team of folks that she's worked with for years. She's cultivated these relationships and she's helped these women along in their path. So I have great respect for Tina and her skill set in the cybersecurity space.
Awesome, because we actually all need more role models. I think one of the things that Elevate the Edge is going to be about is providing role models across the whole stack for people. So Tina, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here. So great.
So let me kick off with you, Tina. It's estimated that 75% of enterprise-generated data will be created and processed outside of a traditional centralized data center or cloud, according to Gartner. So the challenge that organizations are facing is that not all edge computing platforms are readily accessible, and most of them need to be remotely managed and secured over this sort of distributed computing network. Why does this make edge computing platforms such a ripe target for attackers, in your opinion?
Well, I think we all know that when we used to be part of a private network, when all of our work was easily managed behind the four walls of an organization, it was easier to protect us. Now that we are accessing everything over the internet, especially in a wireless network scenario, the attack surface is magnified exponentially. And so you have all of these, what I call the Swiss cheese of the network, all of these holes, if you will. And the holes represent to me things like something,
right here.
There you go, something that's not fully patched or patched properly, known vulnerabilities. When you're talking about devices on the edge, my goodness, there are so many of them that are really bleeding edge, and they haven't been proven and they don't have standards yet. And the attackers know this. And so they're actually looking for these devices. They're looking to the edge to be a place of entry. And once they're in, they're going to do what they can to lie in wait and access the real company jewels, which in many cases, the data, it's always data, but sometimes it's PCI data, sometimes it's, healthcare data. It's all different kinds, right?
That's a really good answer. I mean, you said it, you've got these IP-enabled devices sitting out there that folks aren't even really aware of. They've forgotten about or didn't even know that they had, because there's just not a great baseline inventory of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. So we actually bought a connected coffee maker not that long ago, and I started to think about it. And it's like, well, do I really want to be the person that, you know, creates a big botnet attack, right? So you have to think about these things all up and down, like the enterprise and the consumer stack. And it's sort of the blessing and the curse of having everything be a connected device now. And one of the biggest challenges I think a lot of organizations have had is they've started to look at IoT, which now has evolved into edge computing. You do have a lot of connected devices. So there's a concept of both physical and digital security. But there's another trend that a lot of people are talking about in the space that I really want to get your opinion on. And that's, you know, talk to us about zero trust and SASE. And how are these terms connected and why do they matter to the edge?
Well, zero trust is a construct. It's a structure of principles, if you will, that you can follow to have a better security posture. SASE as well is a combination, you know, of policies and things. To me, SASE is the combination of the network and security put together. And zero trust are the principles that you use to make SASE work better. We at AppGate have a product that accesses its zero trust network access product, which would be an aspect that would make, I think, the SASE platform better. And so these two products or these two, I don't even know what fads right now. That's a big fad. Gartner's really got hot on the SASE last year, and so, you know, it became all of a sudden it popped up in the channel which I'm involved with, and we really weren't prepared to talk much about it. Yes, we were using zero trust. Yes, we were using the principles of it in our product. Yes, we were using it to protect devices in the edge, but we weren't talking about it as an aspect of how our product worked. And it left us a little flat-footed for a little while. And of course, we caught up and everything's fine. But the way I look at these two things is that they're both really identity-centric. So whether you're talking about SASE and this platform that's running security across your entire network, or you're talking about the constructs of how you're going to run a network access platform that's going to manage your devices and your people and your users, you're still looking at identity. Who is this device? Who is this person? Are they who they say they are? Do we have the right access coming in? Is this the right thing, doing what they're saying they're supposed to do? This to me is at the core of it all. And without zero trust, it doesn't matter what you're using, because you could be letting someone do something that shouldn't be.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I love the way you actually framed up the term around zero trust, because one of the things I think we've been struggling with as an industry is like people throw out terms and then everything has to be something. Everything has to be cloud native. Everything has to be zero trust. Everything has to be AI enabled, which, by the way, AI and zero trust kind of go together, because how do you figure out all these things in terms of, you know, who's Maribel, who's Joe, who's Tina? Like, how do we do that? We use a lot of machine learning to figure that out. But it does lead to confusion when you go to something like RSA and you walk in and like every booth has zero trust on the top of it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And at some point you're like, oh my God, the entire conference is like one big zero trust. It's like, if everybody's zero trust, is anybody not zero trust? So yeah. We've actually, I know I've struggled with this. I'm sure other enterprise IT and security buyers have struggled with it as well.
Oh, it's very confusing right now. We've been talking about it. You know, the term zero trust was coined by John Kinderflag, you know, like 10 years ago or more when he was at Forrester.
I actually forgot he was the person that did it, but you're right. I mean, yes. I remember it now. But talk about like taking a while to show up.
Yes.
And then yes. All of a sudden it's everywhere. It's pervasive as a concept. It's like, you know, Joe and I could have been like the zero trust enabled, you know.
Well, I've been talking about it for 6 years, and it wasn't until the last 18 months or so that people actually knew what I was talking about. And they didn't gloss over when I said zero trust, you know. I'm still know, I work with channel partners and the indirect channel in our company. And so there's a lot of education that still has to be done. But it's quite simple. I mean, the fact is that you trust no one or nothing. Nothing should be touching your network or your secure resources, your valued resources that you don't know what it is. Okay. Whether that is a device or, and by the way, this whole thing about something's managed operationally versus IT, that needs to stop immediately. Okay. Mm-hmm. These devices that have grown up as part of the oil rig, and they're still being managed by the OT folks and not IT. And so they don't have the proper security right? It's a scary, scary world when I hear these things about our critical infrastructure. That has to stop. And that's why I love the fact regardless of your politics, I love the fact that the president has this thing about the executive order and how these critical infrastructure, regardless of where it is and what it is, it has to follow basic zero trust principles, because I do believe that that will set us on a better course of action in many cases. So,
and you know, Tina, really good point, because you're starting to see other things sort of shift into the equation, like CMMC. Yes. And in case folks aren't familiar with that, that's the government mandating that, hey, if you want to do business with us as a supplier, you're going to be a trusted partner of ours in our supply chain. That's essentially, they're saying that you're going to deploy at a minimum a zero trust network access, right? And so I want to stop a minute there, because I think folks get confused and they feel a little overwhelmed. And I think AppGate has a great tool as it relates to zero trust network access. So can you take a minute and just talk about specifically that, and that as a starting point in your zero trust journey?
I actually, to make it very, very simple, I talk about locking the front door. You would not,
right?
You would not open the front door to someone if they didn't tell you who they were, if they didn't show you, and if you didn't know them, if they didn't show you an ID or point to their truck, let's say it's Federal Express or, you know, some kind of identification, right? Why on earth would you let someone in the front door with just an IP address, right? That's, to me, that's, and what AppGate does is it contextually looks at whatever parameters you choose to have it look at, whether that through Active Directory or LDAP or anything that you're using. And it says, okay, this is what we have for Tina. Okay. She's in the Midwest. She shouldn't have a Chinese IP address. And by the way, her antivirus isn't right. So we're not letting her in. You know, it's going to look at contextually these aspects of things. And it's going to say, whether it's me or I'm an IoT device, and say, okay. And it's going to let you in, but it's going to ask a few things first, very quickly. You don't even notice it's happening. I can tell you that I've used VPNs and I've used AppGate, and AppGate is much quicker than any VPN I ever used. So it's going to shut the front door. I'm not saying a swear either. It's going to lock the front door in a way that makes sense nowadays. You just wouldn't ask anybody to not provide ID. And so why on earth are we allowing that to go on with our critical infrastructure and our important resources? So that's what we do. We also have aspects of AppGate that make it really easy to create little firewall rules to keep everything encrypted and manage all of this effort in a very simple way. So rather than make this a commercial, I hope you'll reach out to me at AppGate and I'll tell you more about it.
Well, but that's really important. But, you know, earlier in the conversation, T, I think that you talked about the idea of identity.
Yes.
And today, if you're familiar with how a VPN works, it just lets you in if you have access, right?
That's right.
So the IP base lets you in.
Right.
And you're into everything. So also, as part of the tenet of zero trust network access, there is micro-segmentation that occurs. Can you speak about that a little bit and what that means?
Yes. So within Zero Trust, there's something called the concept of least privilege. And what we're talking about there is that as a user or a device, you should really only have access to what you have to do the job. Okay. So if you look at me and a person that's mostly in sales within this company, what are the things that I have to have for my job? I need Salesforce. I maybe need access to our compensation system, a few other things, but I don't need our IP. Okay. I don't need our finance system, or I don't need SAP. There are things I don't need. And so by narrowing what I have access to, you're automatically narrowing that attack surface, right? So in addition to locking the front door properly, my product is also going to help you with this concept of least privilege. We're going to help you narrow the scope of what this person is allowed to do. Now, the other thing that happens is this is quite dynamic. So if something should happen immediately, some behavior is witnessed that's not quite right, the system has some AI in it and it will just right there. So if for some reason someone, you know, has my biometrics, is allowed to get in, and they still, let's say, okay, they can get into the sales systems, but they can't get into PCI and other things, right? But let's say they can't. If their behavior is slightly off in any way, the system's smart enough to know this, and it's going to lock them out. If I step away for any amount of time, it will lock them out. There's all kinds of things that it does, but least privilege. And that's also really smart if you're talking about the edge, because one of the things we always advise is put your devices on a different segment of the network than your trusted resources. That's just common sense. The first thing we tell people, right? Well, imagine if you could do that in a way that was very simple to manage, and that every time you accessed your device, right? I'm going to pretend I'm the device now, my behavior, right? Every time I go to access, let's say a database, or let's say something that's coming in, maybe from a cell phone, whatever it is, that I have to be checked out, okay? And then once I'm checked out, I only get that one application. And when I'm done, right, there's no lying in wait, everything else is cloaked. I mean, that's the beauty of this sort of system that follows these principles of zero trust. The edge at its most vulnerable is about these devices that are lightly managed, that are out there, that are not protected, right? So you want to put in these other steps to make sure that if in fact there are some vulnerabilities, they're caught at each area that you encounter.
I think what's so powerful about this conceptually is the concept that we have sort of a discussion point around what something should be doing. And we also have some tools to learn, like how real people do things, because maybe I've selected your roles based on Active Directory, but there is another app that you should have access to. So if it were just based on like your Active Directory role, maybe you wouldn't get access to, say, SAP. But if we figure out that you've been accessing SAP for months and months and months, then we have, you know, a baseline that says, hey, these are the sorts of things that you should have access to. And it's a combination of, you know, what is in a system, what has been behavior, you know, the learned behavior of the organization to really tell, and even down to, you know, in some cases, keystrokes for certain people, right? How they actually access a machine. That's extremely powerful. And that's very different than saying, you know, anybody with this VPN software can come in and have free reign access to the whole network. And for me, I think this is super important as we think about the landscape of hybrid work, in addition to edge computing, because more people are going to be transiting all over the world again at some point. And we're going to have a scenario where we're back in those days of we're just letting anybody from anywhere access systems. And that we have to shut down. That is just not going to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. I don't know how many times I've had relatives or someone tell me that they're traveling and they're going to an ATM or they're using the bank and they're in a coffee store. I'm like, what are you telling, you know, don't do that. That's no, you know, little things that you can do that really just set you up for a breach, you know. Yeah, absolutely, Mirabel. That's perfect, perfect segue into this whole idea that you, these are concepts, these are tools. They're not impossible to utilize. You can put them in. What, one of the things that you said, I don't know if it was you or Joe that said about how you can run them and see behavior. Sometimes people put in AppGate, our tool, and watch it for a while and watch what their people are accessing and then use that to set up permissions and least privilege because they don't really know all of what their people need. It's not easy to put them in groups. Like the salespeople, that's easy, right? Or the finance people, that might be easy. But then there's this other gray area, so they watch. And it's amazing. Or let's say you acquire a company. You don't know these people. You might not even know what roles they have. It's a perfect way to use AppGate is to just let it run and then to of course, we're going to log everything, which is another principle of zero trust. You must log everything and we'll see everything happening. And at that point, you really learn a lot because you're able to witness who's accessing what and when.
Well, this just gets back to another use case in edge computing where data and analytics are king, and we're really excited about how we can pull the data, the analytics, the machine learning and deep learning and AI together to really create something that's going to protect the populace at large. Super exciting stuff. Tina, I want to thank you for joining us and sharing your wisdom on cybersecurity. And this is it. For Elevate the Edge, Joe and I will be back with more thrilling, exciting guests and everything that is known to be edge. Tina, once again, thank you.
Thank you. Girls rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Tina, for your time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe so you can easily find us again. Follow us on Twitter at Maribel Lopez and at Digital Cloud Gal and on LinkedIn. Links to our social profiles, show notes, and ways to listen to the podcast can be found at ElevateTheEdge.com.